This is the Empty Stands Podcast.
It's the weekend review on the Empty Stands Podcast. I'm Ibuka, and with me on this one is my brother Albert. Albert, how are you doing?
I'm really good, brother. I'm really good. Glad to be back.
You'll be good. when your team survived against Liverpool, of course you'll be good.
But the players were underwhelming in the first half. Literally underwhelming. But I don't know what Ten Hag told them in the second half, but they really tried their best, honestly. It was one of those games that you just knew that you needed to bring your heart into it. And Liverpool literally felt like the home team. They were really driving. I know last recording, we spoke about how Diaz doesn't always look like a threat, but is a threat. And he was really a threat. And that was one of those things that I really looked out for in the game. And I was a bit worried for the team. And despite the fact that our injury list just keeps building and keeps building, it was scary. But then, like, it feels like the kids are stepping up to the game right now, right? Like, once your captain is able to push the team forward, then you see other people follow, other players follow your captain. Bruno Fernandes with that half-line goal, like, it was just one of those things that we know that we're going to see very often anytime, like, we want to play Liverpool, because you know how the media will always bring back your past, more like history itself. That goal was meant. We can see how Maino is forever evolving. Like, his confidence, man. Like, his confidence is one of those things that you're just looking at and be like, I think our midfield is in good hands, basically. Like, our midfield is in good hands. Like, I think next season, like, once we're able to sell Casemiro because he's old, we'll sell Casemiro. Partner Maino with someone else. I'm not necessarily Scott, because Scott McTominay is a decent player, right? But not starting material. He's more like a good squad player. Exactly. So, yeah. But, man, the game was one of those things that I wasn't so happy with the outcome. I think it was like double-sided, right? One, we got a draw. Right now, it doesn't seem like we're in that top four race. So it's more like we're hanging in there till the end of the season, right? But we ensured that Klopp didn't get his win. And yeah, anything to ensure that the Scousers didn't win. Anything to ensure that Liverpool didn't win.
I feel you.
But I was sad at the first half. I got myself in the second half. Anthony Taylor broke my heart with that decision.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that. Do you think that was a penalty?
That was not a penalty. Like, okay. Honestly, at the angle where Anthony Taylor was, definitely he would think there was like contact, right? But there was no contact to it. There was no contact at that point in time. So it was just one of those things that, like, he already made the call. So it's based on judgment on, okay, can I rescind the call? But also, it's one of those flaws that we've seen. I know early this season we spoke about the flaws of VAR, and it's one of those things that, like, didn't they review it? Even though he made the call, like, didn't VAR review it? I think Harvey Elliott literally just dived. Like, he just dived, man. It wasn't a penalty to me. But yeah, okay. I think we didn't feel like the home team at all. Literally, we didn't feel like the home team at all. But we needed that motivation to hold us through. I was looking at it, you know, remember what happened in the Chelsea game, right? And we lost it in the 99th minute.
It was the 100th minute or something. I think
100th minute, like.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you see the home team really pushing, and I didn't see that from us when we played with Liverpool, but yeah, we were able to get ourselves together.
You know, luck plays a huge, a huge part in big games, and I just want to take you back to that mistake from Kwanzaa. You know, young player starting at Anfield. You know, there's the argument that if you're good enough to start at Old Trafford, the argument that if you're good enough to start at Old Trafford, then you're good enough to be held accountable for your mistake. But there are a lot of people that feel like, you know, he's a young kid, they should, you know, give him that, you know, breathing room and space to make mistakes. But that mistake proved costly because you can misplace a pass, you know, close to the halfway line. Yeah. But you don't misplace a pass and give it to Bruno Fernandes. Like, that spot was perfect.
Yeah, it was. But,
you know, the boy has come under a lot of stick. Like, a lot of Liverpool fans are, you know, going at him. But what are your thoughts on that? Like, you know, you guys were playing your own kid as well. Kobbie Mainoo.
Exactly. Honestly, can't even lie. Like, when I saw Kwanzaa on the lineup, and I saw Kambwala on the lineup too, I was like, okay, like, it's 50-50. Like, the defense right now is 50-50. We have a young game, and you have your young game. So, like, I just know that, like, from a defensive point of view, like, any mistake that happens, like, yeah, there really shouldn't be any discussion around it. But also, like, really on our side, Kambwala really stepped up his game. Like, he was also main. That's why I said, like, the kids are really, like, helping us out and playing really good. But yeah, you can't fault, you can't really fault Kwanzaa for that because he's still growing in the game. Like, how many Old Trafford games? Like, there are more defenders that have done worse, that have cost Liverpool the trophy. Gerrard cost Liverpool the trophy, remember? So, yeah, you can't really... He's still learning the trade, and this is from the adversities that you grow and become a better player. So I don't think anyone should give him any stick right now. Like, and trust me, I know some of us might criticize these players, man, but when you run that pitch twice, you will know that it's not easy at all, man. It's not easy.
Yeah. So, I get you, and I agree with you. You know, it's actually not easy. But speaking about young players, you know, Kobbie Mainoo scored that beautiful goal. Bit unexpected, to be honest. And I wasn't really expecting. But we've seen that curler before. We saw it against Wolves. You know, and he did it again. He came clutch for United. I just want to ask, you know, do you think the sky is the limit for this kid? Do you think he's going to make the squad to go to the Euros? What are your thoughts?
The sky is not the limit. It's more like this foundation, the starting point. Like, this is not the I feel confident seeing him on the pitch. You don't understand. Like, it's been a while. I've had so much confidence. And he shows it. He shows it after he scores. Like, his reaction after he scores. He's so disciplined. Oh, my God. Like, Jared said, Southgate should just be happy. Like, Southgate should just be... Like, Southgate should literally look at his lineup and make space for him, no matter what. He needs to make space for Kobbie for the Euros. Literally. The boy is mint. He's... Like, if he doesn't go to Euros, man... Like,
It's okay.
If he doesn't go to the Euros, like, Kobbie should just check and see if he has a second nationality, and he's just pot, literally.
Calm down. He's just 18. You know, it's still a lot of football to be played. Let's calm down.
It's pure gold, man.
But, you know, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the manager as well, the performance of your manager, you know, Erik ten Hag. You know, coming back from that 4-3 loss at Stamford Bridge where you were 2-0 down, 3-2 up, you know, game looked done and dusted, then Dalo makes a mistake, and there's a deflection, and then you lose 4-3, right? Now, using that and going into the Liverpool game, yes, you're at Old Trafford, but Liverpool are the better team. We know that. It's clear. But then, you know, he struggled at the start, but he seemed to get the ship steady, and you almost won that game. You know, is Ten Hag convincing you that he deserves to have the job come the summer? Because we hear things like Gareth Southgate, you know, we hear Graham Potter, we keep hearing, like, you know, different names pop up for United. But what are your thoughts on this? Do you think Ten Hag is showing that he can be that manager, just needs the right players around him?
You see, the name Erik Ten Hag, right, is like, we went for him, and we went for him because he literally fit the description of the kind of manager that we actually want. Right now, in all honesty, I think this would be like sounding the drum again and just being just repeating myself in different areas. But I'm just saying, like, I think he still needs time. Literally, like, even the options right now that we're hearing in the media, they are not even up to par to him, literally. Like, even in the moment, when you look at the market, like, who's the top manager in the market? Like, who is the manager that is, and if you're looking for someone to replace Ten Hag, you're looking for someone that is a serial winner, that has been doing it for a very long time, or someone that is winning right now and making a name for himself, like someone that can steady the ship, right? And we know right now, Ten Hag is literally, he's still understanding the entire Premier League, coming all the way from the Eredivisie. So he's still understanding Premier League. But the Chelsea game and the United game, right? Looking at it, I know he's trying to do something good. Literally, I know he's trying to do something good. It's not easy to, I think what recently happened in that Chelsea game, lack of concentration and injuries to players. Like, those two things, right? Like, I know that, and also Chelsea's efforts, Chelsea's tenacity, that was one thing. Like, shout out to Cole Palmer. But I know Ten Hag is trying to do something great, something good. So, I'm not going to fault him for that. Like, if we are moving into this next season, I believe he's that person that can steady that ship. Because right now, like, if we look at the positives with having Ten Hag, we have Garnacho that scores right now. Like, Garnacho literally steadied the ship from the whole Sancho incident. Like, someone that thought that, okay, like, with Sancho gone, we won't have someone on the right wing. Garnacho has played that player in the right wing and has actually been making impact in some games, right? That's good. Then we have Maino right now playing good in midfield. And literally benching Amrabat that we bought, thinking that Amrabat would be the person that will assist Casemiro in the center of the pitch. But no, Maino is doing it. So he's ensuring that he's building that talent pool that we actually need. So we have players like Omari Fosun that comes to play in our cup games. We have Willy Kambala right now that is playing. So I know he wants to do something good. So we just need to give him time. Like, give him time, give him the funds that he needs. Ensure that we're able to take away the dead wood. Like, I think do like a proper audit of, like, I think this next season, when we're going in, like, when we are letting players go, I know there's some complexity around players' contracts and letting them go and selling them. But if you're doing that, you know that you're doing that just with the benefit of the team involved, right? So, like, sell players like Martinez right now. We need to sell Martinez because, one, he's injury prone. True. He's injury prone. How many games has he played this season? Think about it.
Isn't that your best defender?
No. Edgar, it's not about, like, I'm happy he's our best defender, right?
Yeah.
But if our best defender can't play, so why is...
I get that's a fair argument. That's a fair argument.
So, yeah. Like, we're not disputing his aptitude or his the way he plays. I'm just talking about him personally being injury prone. One. Then Varane. Like, it's like, remember when Pep joined Man City and bought 5 defenders? Just, that's all he did that... He bought 5 defenders. Like, I think there's one we need to clear out that first, the defensive line first. Like, we don't need Evans in the team. I think Maguire can go now. I think Lindelof. No, okay, you know what? You know, okay, let my ranking order for the defenders that can stay or that can go, right? Honestly, this season, right? Maguire has been a decent squad player. Just a decent squad player, literally. Amongst everyone that we've had, Evans can go, he's too old. Martinez, we should sell him because he's injury prone. Varane, also injury prone, right? Like in the Chelsea game, we brought in Evans and subbed him again. That was just one of those things. Like, I was like,
no, but Evans has been fair for United, to be honest.
And the player they should bring to the team should also fit the ideology and the culture of the team, basically, and top quality players. So, but if you, it's just one of those things that we just need to look at this season, make United a decent team again. I don't think United is even looking to challenge for Premier League next season. This is a process. It takes a while to get back into, like, money won't change. Like, you can't tell me that Newcastle will come next season and want to challenge for the Premier League because they have money right now. It doesn't work that way. Liverpool, they are good right now, but they went through their research. They went through that process of getting back into being contenders for the Premier League itself. So yeah, it's a process. Arsenal went through it. Right now, they have a team that is good enough.
They look really good.
Yeah, I'm happy with the investment currently right now in United. Yeah, I'm happy with that focus. But I know everyone at that seat right now is out there trying to make a decision to ensure that United is back to being one of the top teams in the Premier League. Europa League is not good enough for us, despite the fact that I know that we're going to play it next season. So yeah, just one of them.
I have my thoughts about the Europa League. So I think when you are rebuilding, the Europa League, and okay, now that there's a Conference League as well, they are fantastic tournaments. Trust me. Why? Because you're playing, you know, not so great opposition that allows you to give your young talents game time. You know, like, so you look at Ten Hag now, right? As much as people criticize him, what has he done? He has given young players minutes, even when there's pressure on him.
Yeah. You
know, we've seen coaches that when there's pressure on them, they forget anybody that is under 20 or even under 22 self. Like, get out. I'll play my old guys that have the experience to get me out of this. But what's Ten Hag doing? He's, you know, playing Kobbie Mainoo, giving Garnacho regular minutes. Then there's that kid, Kambwala, whatever his name is. You know, he's trusting these kids, you know, with the big games as well. So imagine Ten Hag playing in the Europa League, where less opposition, you know, he can now really try out some other youngsters that maybe has been looking at that. Okay, I can give this guy a chance. And for me, as a Chelsea fan, that's why I'm pushing for Europe, even though it doesn't seem like we're going to get it. But I'm pushing for Europe because even if it's Conference League, that kind of tournament, if you have it with a good manager, it allows the person to experiment and say, okay, there's this young guy in the academy that's doing well. Let me just give him his debut here and there. You know, give, you know, players random minutes. It helps. It helps to, you know, improve the team as well. But let's leave United for a bit and let's talk about Arsenal, because you guys did the job. You got Liverpool to drop points, but then Brighton couldn't do their job. And they lost comfortably to Arsenal. And, you know, they've been talking about Kai Havertz up and down, all the articles and stuff, and I'm just tired. But, you know, I think De Zerbi as a manager, I don't know if he's someone that you appreciate, someone that you like, but, you know, I think he has not hit the same heights as last season with Brighton. And maybe it's because his head is somewhere else. Maybe he's thinking about the Bayern Munich links, the Liverpool links, the Chelsea links, and he's thinking, you know, I don't want to be here. But as much as he's a good coach, plays good football, rotates the squad, good with young players, you know, ticks all those boxes, it's games like this against the big teams that really set you apart. And it just seems like, you know, De Zerbi's not there yet. I don't know what your thoughts are on Brighton and De Zerbi.
Honestly, the distractions will always be there, knowing that he's becoming that top manager that is in the sight, is in the prime light right now. So it's one of those things that would set in. But I think one of the problems that we have with De Zerbi is he's the manager that doesn't have that standard 11 that he trusts. He doesn't have that standard 11 that he trusts. He's one of those people that could field a different 11 for a different team every time. So I don't know if the team that he always fields have the synergy to play the top teams. So that's been one of my issues I've had with him for the entire time, literally. Because at some point, you see that earlier this season, we had the likes of João Pedro playing. And right now, I think everyone has forgotten that Brighton has Ansu Fati in the team. So, like, it's one of those things that you're asking, okay, is Ansu Fati injured or is he it's not just used to, he can't play in the Premier League. Dezebri has players that could cause problems, but I just don't know if he's managing those players properly. So that's been my issue with him. But yeah, against top opposition, and I know Brighton has had their leaks with United and beating us on certain occasions, but for Arsenal right now, Arsenal has everything to lose right now. Like, they're gunning for something. That's why they're gunners. You get, they're gunning for something right now. So you can't take that. You definitely know that they're not going to go to that game thinking that Brighton will win. Like, right now, like, the view that Arsenal will look see with Brighton is that you're not our competition right now. We just need, you're a game that we just need to win and leave this place right now. You're not that, you're not it. You get, unlike the mindset that Liverpool had with United, they knew that no matter, even if, despite the fact that United lost against Chelsea, they knew that that game was going to be super hard. Like, and you could see from Klopp's expression that, what are you guys playing? Like he was really tense and he was really, like, shouting at the players. But yeah, I see Dezebri definitely, the issues I've had is not having, like, his own standard, his 11 that he plays with. It's really, it's sometimes, it's just, and also I think compared to Arsenal, right, like, if you look at Brighton's injury list, they also have, Ferguson is out, Mitoma is out, Milner is out, Solly March is out, Webster, Billy Gilmore. Also, these are players that actually, like, in the, if you remember early this season, like, we had Solly March scoring goals. We had Billy Gilmore in the center of the park. We had James Milner as a veteran in the left wing or sometimes right wing, or left back or sometimes right back. Mitoma was also a threat. So also injury has also played that, also plagued them also, the same way injury is plaguing different players. But unlike Arsenal right now, I think Arsenal's only injury that I can really state right now is Jurrien Timber, who has a knee injury right now. So, like, definitely, Arsenal came with more fire than Brighton would actually have. But yeah, it's just one of those things, right? But I don't think Arsenal would have seen Brighton as any competition to win them. They're definitely not.
You know, speaking about Arsenal, it's something I want to get your thoughts on. This thing that's been going around about, you know, the three left-footed Englishmen, Saka, Foden, Cole Palmer, right? what are your thoughts and who would you take to the Euros?
Who would I take to the Euros? I'm taking everybody. their names you call, right? Like, I don't know how Southgate is going to do it. But you just need magic. Like, I think this is Southgate's last Euros. Like, if he doesn't pull it off now, he can't pull it off again. If he doesn't pull it off right now, he can't pull it off again, honestly. Like, because these players are on fire. Like, literally, these players are on fire. Like Jude Bellingham, Saka, Foden. Like, It's Cole Palmer right now. Like, it's just one of those things that you just need all the luck you can get. Like, you don't care who is left wing, who is left footed, right footed. Like, I just need all the best players out there. Like, you just need so much solutions right now. And looking at the Euros right now, anyways, we're going to have our own
session. We'll have a Euro special later.
We'll have a Euro special because, like, who can nick it? That's my own. Like, who can nick it right now? Who is that team that we're looking at? Maybe should be able to nick it. But But because I think because most of us are Premier League faithful, we believe that the Premier League players, the English team can actually make it. I don't have faith in the Spanish team. Literally.
I'll let you. I just want, you know, one last dance for Ronaldo, man. One last dance. Yeah, I hope my dance.
Anyways, Portugal definitely is favorites to do it. That good Bruno Fernandes.
We have so many good players, man. Link, we just need to get it right.
Grimaldo from the...
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy one, man. You just need to get it right. But, you know, sorry for bringing in the Euros discussion. I wanted to ask about the top five. You know, do we think the top five is pretty much, you know, settled at this point with Spurs and Aston Villa rather battling for, you know, fourth position? Do you think settled?
The top five, right? As it looks right now, pretty much, because United is currently right now sits 49 points, but they have one more game at hand. But yeah, there's no way they are catching Aston Villa. Aston Villa has been playing. It's not like Aston Villa is slacking or anything. They've been playing really good football, literally. They've been playing really good football. Like, there's no catching them at the moment right now. So I think it's done and dusted for me. United can, like, just focus on just ensuring that they don't play the Conference League. Literally,
yeah. Europa League is not a bad competition, and if United finishes sixth, you get Europa League. Not so bad, you know. Not the best results, but you can make it work. You try again.
Honestly, next week. Thinking about it, United has a good run. Like, United has a good. I think if we can compare Aston Villa's next games, United has a good run because who do they have next? They have Bournemouth. They are away in Bournemouth. Think they are away to Bournemouth, then they have two home games, Sheffield United and Burnley. Then they're away to Crystal Palace. Then I think Arsenal, they are home to Arsenal and away to Brighton. Like, honestly, if United puts their head down, and they could win all these games. That's in a perfect world, but you know how the Premier League is. In a perfect world, they can win them, but the way the Premier League is, man. You can't predict that because Aston Villa, they have Arsenal, they're away to Arsenal, home to Bournemouth, home to Chelsea, away to Brighton, home to Liverpool, and away to Crystal Palace. Trust me, Aston Villa, they have more on there. They have a tougher fixture than.
But they can get it done. I have a feeling that, you know, they can still qualify for Champions League. But then again, it would be, you know, two new, what I call it, entrants, you know, into Champions League spots back to back. You know, last year was Newcastle, this year Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. It just shows that, you know, those teams that we considered mid-table teams are waking up and, you know, just capitalizing on the big teams that are slacking. For example, you know, the Chelsea's of this world, which we'll get into. But, you know, final word on the top five. I just wanted to talk to you about Spurs. We saw them beat Nottingham Forest, you know, 3-1 in match week 32. What are your thoughts on Spurs and on their manager, Ange Postecoglou? Do you think he can be proud of, you know, what he's delivered at Spurs this season? And, yeah, there's also talk about, you know, Liverpool fans being a bit disappointed because he fits the bill as the kind of manager that, you know, would be that great club replacement. But unfortunately for them, they've missed out. But what are your thoughts on Spurs and Ange?
First of all, I don't think Liverpool fans know what they actually want. Like, literally. Honestly, I don't think they know what they want. All I know is that they want a top manager that can win trophies for them. And deep down, if you ask a Liverpool fan, I think the media and the internet might be going wild, but deep down, if you present Klopp's CV and Ange's CV, there will be like lots of, there'll be a difference, right? There'll be a gap, a very big gap in it. when it comes to like winning and what Liverpool wants as for a manager. But yeah, I think Ange has done so well this season. If he can give them Champions League football, that's good. Literally, that's I like honestly, brownie points to him, and him like that's really good this season. I think, yeah, it's a good start for the season. He just needs to build on the next season. They lost players this season, right? Like they lost their top goal scorer, and they've been able to hang on with other teams that had better goal scorers. And like honestly, being ahead of Aston Villa that have strikers like Ollie Watkins, right? It's one of those things that I believe Ange did so well this season. And yeah, I believe they are going to play Champions League football. They are going to hold on to it. Because yeah, they've been mint also. They haven't had the best of firing power, but it feels like everyone in the team is contributing from left backs to the midfield. Yeah, and also the fact that Locke also plays a part in this. I think this second part of the season, we haven't really seen James Maddison came back from injury, but hasn't been the player he was in the first half of the season. So hopefully, I hope next season he steps up. Also players that have gone unnoticed is like players like Timo Werner, and he's been really low key. I think this is one of those things where you play for a team that doesn't give you so much pressure. Remember when he was in Chelsea and he was literally the top man, and he got so much pressure every time that he played and didn't score. But right now, within in Spurs, he's really low key. He's had his head down. He gives his assist. He scores when he has to score. And yeah, no one is really disturbing him right now. So I think he's in one of the best places that he can be right now. But yeah, I think they have the right foundations right now to build for next season. Are they going to challenge for the title next season? I don't think so. But if they move from fourth to third, that's a good start. If they go for an FA Cup or a Carabao Cup, that's a good start. Yeah. But they have good foundations right now. I think they just need to build on that. That's one of those things that I'm really happy that Spurs is doing. Also, I think they also have really like one of the underrated defenders right now, Van der Ven.
That guy is good.
I think literally the back four for Spurs is literally underrated with Poro and Udoji, literally powerhouses. They're one of those fullbacks that are very physical, mm-hmm. and Poro contributes to goals. And I think it's one of those things that I think this season we've seen most of the fullbacks that transition into midfield and try and make plays from there and score. And we've seen Poro do that from time to time. We've seen Udoji contributing goals. We've seen Cristiano Romero step up as a leader and be more aggressive in that back four. So literally, they have a good foundation right now. Well, I actually didn't believe that Brennan Johnson would actually be impactful in the team, but yeah, he's been low-key impactful. Literally, Son hasn't been scoring much, but he's also been that good leader that they also rely on from time to time. Like honestly, I'm really happy with where Spurs actually is, right? Where they are currently, right now. Also good midfield replacement. Like when you with like right now, currently within in the middle of the park, you have Bissouma and Pap Mesa right now. And once you do like a quick substitute, you're able to bring in Bentancur and Højbjerg. And that's literally, it just feels like nothing changed, right? Because it's like almost the same kind of quality players that you have. So they have decent quality players on the bench. Lo Celso is also on the bench. Then if you need
more, their recruitment has been really good.
Very good. If you need more creativity, you can bring in Kulusevski at the same time. So honestly, they made some decent signings, and the players are literally really good. I love what Spurs did this season, and I believe they can build on it next season.
Yeah, let's see how that goes next season. Maybe, as you said, a third place finish will be a sign of that progression. Now let's talk about people that are regressing instead of progressing. Chelsea FC, 4-3 against United. Everybody's on that high, and in very predictable fashion, the next game is a 2-2 draw with Sheffield. Right. As a Chelsea fan, I would say it's been quite a disappointing season. It seems like whenever things are supposed to go good, they start to go bad. And in that particular game, a lot of players did not step up. I think everyone had a bad game. I don't think there's anybody that would... Even Maduki that scored had a bad game. The goal just kind of spared his blushes a bit. But I want to just focus on the manager, because Albert, I don't know how you feel about playing players in the wrong positions. But in that Sheffield game, we saw Conor Gallagher play as the left winger. I don't know what to do with this Pochettino fella, because it just seemed like, he wanted to give Madueke a start on the right. So definitely Cole Palmer can't play on the right. He wants to play Cole Palmer in the center. Now, you play Cole Palmer in the center, but then you remember that Gallagher must start. For some reason, that's the rule. Gallagher must start. And then you now look at your team sheet and like, I put this guy. Okay, I'll bench Modric and Sterling and I'll start Gallagher on the left wing. So, to me, right, I don't think Gallagher deserves any stick for his performance. I'll be honest with you. And that's because he didn't ask to play out of position. The manager did that to him. So, if he plays a stinker, you can't really give him any stick, because it's not his fault. But that's what Pochettino does. He makes some very stupid decisions. I'm looking at him like, now, what's wrong with this guy? And, Albert, let me bust your head with this interesting stat. In the last 7 games, we've conceded at least 2 goals in the last 7 games. So, if you're playing against, Chelsea right now, there's that confidence that you will score more than one, right? And it's really annoying. And I know a lot of Chelsea fans are pissed off. A lot of Chelsea fans are waiting for the club statement that Pochettino gets sacked. To be honest, I don't think that club statement is going to come anytime soon. And that's because the board probably feels like there's no need sacking this guy now. Let's just wait until the summer, right? But, Albert, I don't know what your thoughts are on Chelsea and Pochettino generally, but it's just been a very disappointing season for Boots.
If there's one thing that we've known about Chelsea, and maybe the Chelsea in the past, is that Chelsea as a club, as a whole, because Chelsea as a club is outside of the owner, the going entity, right? The living being on his own, right? Chelsea is able to make harsh decisions that no other club will make. They can sack a coach at any time, any point in time that they want to. But I think right now we're in a new era, and maybe Chelsea within herself is more lenient and wants to see more evolution and growth from both managers and the players. Why? Because she played a part in getting those players, those young players, giving them 7-year contracts, very long, wide contracts. And yes, it's just one of those things that we need to also focus on.
Let me cut you short a bit, man. I apologize. But when the manager, you talked about young players.
Yeah,
Poch was saying that it looks like the team is not mature enough to win games, to play every 3 days and win. I found that that comment very insulting, and I think some of the young players in that squad will feel like, what's this guy saying? You don't need. I don't know what he expects to have to be Sheffield. Sheffield are last in the Premier League, right? They are the worst team in the Premier League at the moment. So And this is the team that they were smashed 6-0 by Arsenal. I think 5 by, was it Aston Villa? I think 5 by Aston Villa, 8 by Newcastle. People beat them. It's a normal thing. So why are you coming up with stories and excuses? Like, and he has weird excuses. Like, nah, the guy is really frustrating, bro. Yeah, I would like.
I think that's the beauty of the Premier League, right? Like small teams will also challenge the big teams, right? And like that's what we saw within the Sheffield and the Chelsea game. It's literally normal, literally. So we can't actually fault that. But now Pochettino's decisions within the team, honestly, I don't blame him for playing Gallagher within that game. It's more like rewarding him for the Manchester United game, right? Honestly.
But you do it when it makes sense. You don't just play the guy left wing. That's unfair.
Exactly. You don't play him. But when you think about it, like if you said he played at what point did Gallagher move to left wing? Because
from minute one. Like from minute one was on the left. Because Noni Madueke was on the right. Palmer yes. was through the middle. Jackson right in front of him. And then Gallagher was on the left wing. Caicedo and Enzo were behind. Like from minute one, and it was just not making any sense whatsoever. Because, you know, Gallagher couldn't play his game. The team couldn't really progress or attack from the left. Even though, yes, he tried to, you know, supplement by pushing Cucurella really high, but you know, it still wasn't enough. And you know, just think about it. You have Raheem Sterling, you have Mikhailo Modric on the bench, but then you start a midfielder in left wing. Why are you doing that? This is the same. So, Albert, this is the same guy that has been misprofiling players from the first moment that the season started. Because in preseason, it felt like he had sense. When we started the season with the first match against Liverpool, I didn't know that this guy had no sense. He has played Chilwell at left wing, Colwell at left back, you know, De Sassi at right back. Like, these things are just, I was just like, what is wrong with this guy?
You know, one thing, no managers are allowed to like experiment with the team, right?
Nah, yeah. I get that. But you know, you do it when it makes sense. And there's this young kid we have, right? And I feel really bad for him because he'll be thinking he made the wrong decision joining Chelsea. David Washington, right? He came from, you know, Santos, Brazilian prospect, the world at his feet. He chose Chelsea, right? And I think he's played just two games or something. If he has played more than two, it should be like three. And it's really annoying because, you know, you have Nicholas Jackson thinking of the place and you're like, okay, why can't this kid, you know, get his own chance? Why can't this kid, you know, get to show himself? You're playing Jackson week in, week out. Jackson struggles. You know, Jackson, you know, doesn't seem like his head is there when it comes to making the decision in front of the goalpost. It's really disappointing. And that boy had just wasted 1 year of his development. He's not the Chelsea bench. Or because there's a terrorist as the coach. No, it's all not adding up, man. I don't know.
It's all just honestly, I think the Jackson buy is quite questionable. He doesn't fit the profile for a Chelsea top striker. And despite knowing that like Chelsea has always had an issue with the top nine, right? That there's this curse that you guys still have. Like still looming within the club. But yeah, I think since Drogba left, it's been one of those things that that position that hasn't been replaced properly. But yeah, I don't see Jackson being that top man next season. Maybe probably like a squad player, but now he's starting.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do. But if they get Osimhen, I'll tell you for free, I think Osimhen will flop.
Why?
I think he has Chelsea flop written all over him.
Okay, right now, Chelsea has the creativity with Palmer, right? So if you have Palmer that contributes to goals, scores, assists, so that creativity is already there. You just need a top man to help with that. If you have a disciplined midfielder like Enzo, Caicedo, still questionable, but if Enzo and Caicedo are really able to hold the middle of the park properly, you just need that good creativity transition and get your top man and you'll be banging in goals. Then right now, Gallagher is more of less of that creative player that you have in midfield and more of a soldier that you just need to ensure that I'm wearing this badge with so much pride I'm doing whatever the manager tells me to do. And these are players, these are kind of, sometimes you need this kind of mentality, like whatever the manager wants me to do, I'll do it. And just try and push his legacy and ensure that the blueprint of the club is literally shown once I'm playing. And I see Gallagher as that kind of player because he gets lots of stake. Also, he's that player that always wanted to earn his place in Chelsea, and he's really stepping up. Sometimes wearing the captain handband and stuff like that. So yeah, I think, trust me, I know Reward will hear this and he'll be like, no. he's doing his best. He's doing his best, and most of these players literally do what the manager wants them to do. So I can't fault them for that. Pochettino still needs one more season because he needs one more season because he's a top manager. Like, if a top manager can't turn it around in the second season, then there's a problem.
No. We can't see. Like, we can't.
Just give Poch some credit.
Nah. Thank God we got Man City in the FA Cup, so he can't fraud his way out of it. Call it.
What if he wins Man City?
Fraud. Then he has to allow United beat him in the final. You guys need to beat him next, because if he wins the FA Cup, we're in trouble. But can you imagine one more year of Poch? God forbid. Bro, just to round this episode up, let's talk about the relegation battle. Earlier today, we are recording this episode on the 8th of April. We heard the news about Everton getting docked 2 more points. You know, I have my personal opinion about it. I feel, you know, it's quite disappointing to be doing all of this during the season because it's going to have a negative effect on the players. They picked up, you know, 3 points against Burnley in the hard-fought 1-0 victory, you know, lucky goal from Calvert-Lewin. But then, you know, while they're celebrating that and looking forward to their survival, you know, you're taking 2 points off them when you've taken, I think, like 6 points from them earlier in the season. You know, it just doesn't sit well with me. But yeah, that's the reality of the situation. But, you know, Everton are still above the relegation zone, currently in 16th. But, you know, it's still, you know, a tough one for them, and they could go down. And just imagine them going down because of all of this points deductions and stuff. I'm not saying the law should not, you know, like they're allowed to break the law or whatever, but I'm just saying maybe do it at the end of the season. So just take it away from all the drama. Let the players be able to focus. Let the manager focus and do the job that they need to do. But to you, Albert, what are your thoughts on, you know, the early contenders? I won't call it early now, it's late contenders for relegation because we're already 32 games in. So, you know, who are those people that you believe they are going to get relegated?
I think right now it's sad to see Burnley go down. Definitely Sheffield and Burnley is actually a done deal for me. There is no coming back from this. But it's sad to see actually Burnley go down. I think the battle right now is between Nottingham Forest and Luton Town. Nottingham Forest actually have the players to keep them up. Like, if they put their head down and just focus. Chris Wood is a veteran striker. Elanga is pretty much very, very creative and very fast, and like he should be able to help with scoring goals and the rest. So I think Nottingham Forest can and should be able to hold their own, honestly, for me, basically. So I believe right now the stance is not, it's just, we just need some surprise. And sadly, if Everton actually gets the points deducted again, because I think isn't currently in the media, like they might still face some punishment, and that could actually make a shift within the relegation, the relegation battle right now. But honestly, I have my sentiments to what's currently happening to Everton right now. One, it sends the wrong message to mid-table teams that actually want to push and do like good business within and compete with the top six clubs. I think right now, maybe despite accounting errors, there might be some decisions that they might make and just know that, okay, we just need to be on our toes with making financial decisions that could help improve the club. So, like, right now, what's currently happening to Everton is literally, is really, really sad. It's really sad. And if the FA actually has, or the Premier League actually has, like, a keen eye view on, or a bird's eye view on Everton and their accounting, honestly, I think they need to also look at the top six also, right? The top six teams, because they also do very large business, literally. They do very large business. And you can't tell me that a club like Man City that spends that much doesn't have some errors on their books one way or the other. I'm not a financial expert, or I'm not a financial expert.
They have 115 charges. Man City have 115 charges.
So. Exactly. So what do you say to that? What do you say to that? But no, Everton right now is currently being, they are literally the scapegoats right now.
So that's my point. Like, imagine how these guys are feeling, right? You know, the manager, Sean Dyche,
trying to get locked in. Mindset right now will be different. Like,
everybody's like, if we win the next match, how many points are they going to remove from the victory? Like, it's really annoying. Just do it. I don't know. Let them get done with whatever they want to do. Accumulate as much points as they can. And then you can now say, okay, you've broken this law, this is what we're going to remove from you. You're not now, it's just messy.
It changes the entire atmosphere, literally. Mm-hmm. Sadly, it changes the entire atmosphere. I just hope, I'm really looking forward to the end of the season to ensure that everything is settled. Literally, yeah, to ensure that everything is settled. I think Luton had a good run this season. They had a good run this season. They have amazing players that really tried their best this season. Trust me, if they get relegated, they would lose most of their players. There are so many players out there. Trust me, number one player that is going is Alfie Doughty. Like,
yeah, everybody.
Gone. Like,
I swear. Like, right from the tunnel, last game of the season, somebody's already offering him a contract. Like, get out of this place.
Some mid-table team will snatch, of course, Carlton Morris. Like,
yeah,
a lot of players that would just
even the is it the Nigerian guy Elijah, what's the guy's name? Is it Adebayo? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, Adebayo.
Yeah, that guy too is going to get snapped up. I think he's a good striker. He's a good striker in there. Ross Barkley, you know, might also get a move.
Definitely. Ross Barkley will also get snatched up. I think if we're looking at the championship right now, we see hopefully we get our faithfuls back, Leicester City coming back. Hopefully, fingers crossed, if they make that transition, like, that would be good to have Leicester back in the Premier League. So, yeah, there are some teams that will come from the Championship that will definitely be able to snatch up most of these players from the relegated teams. So, it's been a good run. It's been a good run for them.
Mm-hmm.
A good run for them. But yeah, well, I think once you have that Premier League experience, right, going back to the Champions League puts you at the top tier where you're able to, like, find your way up right now. Currently in the Championship, Leicester City are top of the table with 88 points. It's like they are just coasting. They're like, you're not our level.
just a phase.
You're not our level. But hopefully we get the likes of Leicester City, Ipswich, Then yeah, the playoffs between Leeds City, Leeds United. Wow, when we get Leeds United back, Southampton.
Yeah, all of these guys were coming
from. Like if you look at the top six, right?
Yeah.
We have Leicester, Ipswich Town, Leeds United, Southampton, familiar name, West Brom, Norwich City. These are like, okay, we know what the Premier League is. We've been there before. We just came here, just a hiatus and stuff.
Yeah, it'll be fun to have all those.
Yeah, it'll be fun to have them back. But yeah, it'll be fun to have them back. But yeah, sadly, some teams have to get relegated. It's the nature of the game. I just hope Everton stays afloat. I literally hope I think if Everton stays afloat, it would be like a more of a, to be like that statement sent back to, the Premier League and the FA to just let them know that, like, we are strong. We have the mindset. We have that strength, the culture, everything to stay afloat and keep playing good football. Yeah, really looking forward to them staying.
I like that as well. Finally, I just wanted to, say something on the relegation, right? We've seen the three teams that came to the Premier League, they are currently, the three bottom teams. So, Albert, do you think that gap is maybe a bit too much, coming from Championship to Premier League?
We can look at it from an investment point of view, right? Also, there's that history. If you also look at the Championship, there are also clubs that have been in the Premier League for a while. They have good history. But, back in the 90s, it was more from a cultural point of view, like your hometown, your small team. But yeah, investments started coming in, and some teams actually took a further step to build upon that love that or that culture that they have from their hometowns. But yeah, despite that, the investment also plays a part to getting the right team, the right players, the right coach, and not just the coach, from the backroom staff, the scouts. This takes lots of money to run, like literally lots of money. The TV deals. These things are not like, you don't just, it's literally hard to come by. So yeah, I know that the Championship and the Premier League are literally miles apart from each other when it comes to the funding and the financing and the investment. And yeah, it's sad. It's sad, but that's what it is. And I think with that, that's where you're able to differentiate which is the first tier and the second tier league. That's literally how it is. And it's a triangle, sadly, the pyramid. So there's always someone at the apex, right? So
yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, like, and even when the players go down with the club, like, some their salaries get halved. A lot happens in that relegation, zone and that relegation battle. A lot happens there, but still, I think in the future, we just hope like more investment go into it, becomes more competitive. But that's the beauty about it. But you see that also within the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup, where the Champions League and even the League One teams come with bangers, man. They just come and they just ruin the lives of the Premier League teams, right? So, because even right now, I'm even a bit worried about Coventry versus Manchester United. I just feel Onana put Vaseline on his hand, the ball won't stick. It's a fall off. It won't stick.
I think if we get a Coventry versus Chelsea final, that would be like the worst final in years.
No, I think definitely, exactly. And if you see,
because Coventry would be your favorite.
If you look at the marketability of the game,
it won't work.
The game itself, there's the hope for a Manchester. Go for that Manchester derby final. Yeah.
Or a classic United Chelsea final.
Exactly. You know,
that's what they want to sell.
So it's more like serving that the platter right now. Like if I can make a case for Ten Hag all through it, but if he loses the Coventry game, he might as well be sacked. Just saying.
I've made a case for him a lot.
But if he loses the Coventry final, the Coventry semi-final, he might not be sacked. Like,
okay. All right. That's fine. So yeah, guys, that's it on this episode. We are the Empty Stands, and you can follow us on Twitter at the Empty Stands or on Instagram at the Empty Stands Podcast. And you should subscribe to our page on YouTube. You know, that's something that we've pushed out now, and we're going to try as much as possible to be consistent. So yeah, please like and subscribe on YouTube, and we look forward to it. Albert, any final words for our listeners?
Thanks for listening to us, man. We hope to bring you more good content of football going forward.
All right, that's it from us. Have a fantastic week ahead. Bye, guys.
Cheers.